Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
The worship of God cannot begin until we who seek to worship are clean inside. Today, we'll learn lessons from the Old Testament on how to prepare for real worship. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on disciplines of the soul, four ways to stay close to God. Today, we're in Hebrews chapter 9, learning about the discipline of worship and on putting first things first.
So we give our past and our future and all that we are to God. Now hang on to that for a moment, because the next item of furniture that was there in the courtyard area was the laver. Now the laver was a bowl of water, a huge bowl. Solomon, in fact, made it such a big bowl that it was called actually a sea. And then he had 10 other lavers too. It was a basin. And the Bible says that the priest was supposed to wash his hands and wash his feet before he went any further into the presence of God. The laver signifies cleansing. And you see, if our consciences are not cleansed, how are we going to worship God? How are we going to sing the songs of Zion when there's something wrong inside and we're out of fellowship? Now let's just make this very practical. Here's somebody who watches a degrading movie on Saturday evening. The conscience is defiled. There's something going on in there. He doesn't stop at the altar. He bypasses the laver before he comes to church because he doesn't really want to deal with this issue now and to have to humble himself before God again. And so he comes to church. Or let's suppose the family, and now we're even getting more personal, let's suppose the family has an argument before church, especially about getting up and getting into the car on time. All of us can identify. You know, we had three daughters, and at one point, all of them were teenagers. And I believe in those days, we had only one bathroom. Can you imagine? Are you starting to get the picture? And now, you know, the pastor wants to get to the church early. And everybody else can't figure out why he wants to get there early. And you know that sometimes one of the most unholy hours of the week is just before church. I heard an amen here on the platform. And what you find is that, you know, the wife, God bless her, she's trying to get these kids ready, and the husband is in the car and he's on the horn and wondering like that. And then they come to church and they all find their places and now sing a holy, 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 and let's praise the name. And you're there thinking to themselves, I've got to resolve this. This isn't right. Why did she do that? Their minds are far away. They've not been to the altar recently, and they most assuredly have bypassed the laver. There's been no cleansing of the conscience. And immediately, three things happen. First of all joy drains from your heart. How can you rejoice when you have this matter of conscience, when there's something that is happening that just has happened or will happen in the future? That's the second thing that happens, is immediately your attention is drawn away. And because your attention is drawn away, it's hard to concentrate. The hymns are there, yes, but you see the words, but your mind is somewhere else. You can't focus. So three things happen. The joy is gone, the focus is gone, and then something far worse happens. God is not honored. That's why Jesus said, "This people, they worship me with their lips." They're singing the right songs. We don't have no problem with the liturgy. They're singing the right songs, they're saying the right prayers, but their hearts are far from me because they've not been to the altar and to the laver. And while I'm on the topic, let me say this. You see, when we come to church on Sunday, we have to recognize that even if during the week we've been to the altar and the laver, the simple fact is that we pick up dust along the way of life. And the priest had to wash himself just before he went into the most holy place. And in the very same way, when we come into the sanctuary on a Sunday morning where we are going to worship corporately. We're going to worship now together. It is so important to give yourself the opportunity and the friend who is sitting next to you the opportunity to bow their heads and to make sure that if they haven't been to the laver recently, now is the time to do it. Now is the time for confession. Now is the time for yieldedness. Why do you think Dr. Satre plays the organ before the worship service begins? The real reason isn't to give you an opportunity to see whether or not your vocal cords are able to speak loudly enough, despite the music. It's to say, folks, you know, we are going to be worshiping God. We are going to be singing His praises. And we need God to come and tune our hearts to sing His praise. This is our opportunity to say with our lips exactly the way in which our heart feels, and to bring together lip and heart so that we can honor God and so that we can sing together in a way that praises His name. Could I ask you a question? What did you bring into the sanctuary today that distracted you, that was not part of the altar? Did you bypass the laver? Did you just walk in and say to yourself, okay, what is the hymn? What is the scripture reading? Kind of participate, but, you know, it's all out there. It's all dissipation. Before we come into the most holy place, we stop at the altar. And anything that is unyielded, we say, Jesus, I give this to you. I surrender this to you. I give you everything. And then we say, I confess my sins to you, I acknowledge. And the more honest we are in that confession, the more God begins to pour grace into our soul. And we say, now I'm in harmony with God, which is what confession means. It means to be in agreement with God. Now when I sing the songs, I mean the songs. It isn't a matter of words, it is also a matter of heart. And God is honored. Third, now we get to participation. We've stopped at the altar, we've gone to the laver, now what happens? Now we begin to participate. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13, just a little further in the text. We were in chapter 9 all too briefly, I might say, but now in chapter 13, it says this in verse 15. What do we do now that we're in the holy place? What do we do now that the worship has actually begun after we're prepared? 13, verse 15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. Continually a sacrifice of praise. Now, what we do then is we do this primarily through song. Primarily through song. In other ways, but certainly the scripture is another way, as seen in today's bulletin, but primarily through song. The Bible says, we have songs and hymns and spiritual songs. And you'll notice in our bulletin today, I do give you permission to look at it this time while I'm preaching. Normally not, but this time it's legal. Notice hymn 87, May Jesus Christ be praised. Then we sang, Praise the Lord, ye heavens, adore Him. The chorus was worthy of worship. And then think of the songs of worship that our special soloists brought to us today. Everything was God-directed. Everything was praise Jesus. Everything. Why? Why? Because the Bible says we bring to Him the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, and primarily, not exclusively, but primarily all of the music should be God-directed. All over the country, people ask me, you know, is Moody Church, in fact, I was in California this past week for a couple of days ministering there. And people ask me, now, is the worship at Moody Church contemporary or is it traditional? And I guess what they mean is, you know, do you sing the hymns or you do the contemporary thing? Well, I have to say this, and this is my opinion, and it's a humble opinion. Now, my staff knows that all of my opinions are humble. I believe here at the Moody Church, we have achieved, under God's grace, one of the most beautiful balances of worship music that anyone could ever expect or hope for. On the one hand, we say, yes, the hymns of the faith are important. Some people say, throw out the hymns. Listen, some of the hymns have some of the best theology, some of the most God-directed thoughts that one could possibly imagine, and we want to hang on to that. And for people who don't like it, I'll say this to you, that as you begin to sing those songs, they become a part of you, and it would be wrong to simply say, we have nothing to do with that tradition. It's too traditional. But think of all the wonderful choruses and the modern music that is written. In fact, when I was at this college and seminary speaking, they sang a chorus, I believe it was on Wednesday evening, that was so beautiful, and I don't think we've ever sung it before, and I asked them to send it to me because we have to sing it here at the Moody Church. Sometimes we have an orchestra, sometimes we have drums, sometimes we have special music, we've got someone who plays the guitar, and we do it differently. You say, well, when your worship committee meets together, you know, is it always just, well, you know, we begin with a prayer, and then we do this, and then we begin like that, you know? I want to tell you why we're doing that. That isn't just because there's some tradition we inherited. All worship should have certain elements. In fact, let me comment on that in a moment before I go to, or rather after I've said something about the second part of worship. You'll notice what it says here in Hebrews chapter 13, the fruit of the lips that confess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. I need to tell you today that giving is worship. Did you notice that in the Old Testament, we read it today in the scripture reading. It says, come into his courts, bring a gift. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9, it says that they offered both gifts and sacrifices. Do you notice that when it's time for us to receive the offering, I always say we continue our worship, and you probably think it's just a segue that he uses to try to connect the two together. It's not. In the Old Testament times, it was unthinkable that somebody would come into God's presence and not bring a gift for God. And yet I suspect, and I think our records might indicate, that there are hundreds of people who attend Moody Church week by week who never bring a gift for God.
Well, my dear friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. It's very important for us to be generous because God is generous. And of course, one of the things that we want to do also is to help get the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. And because many of you are generous, you are helping us do just that. I'm holding in my hands a letter from someone who wrote to us from Egypt. Don't have time to read it in its entirety, but it talks about accepting Jesus Christ as Savior after listening to our Arabic program. Let me ask you a question. Would you like to become what we call an endurance partner? Very quickly, here's what you can do. Go to offerrtw.com. Let me give that to you again. offerrtw.com. Click on the Endurance Partner button or call us at 1-800-215-5001. Thanks in advance for helping us.
Pastor Erwin Lutzer with more of The Discipline of Worship, the third of four messages on disciplines of the soul, four ways to stay close to God. Next time, some final thoughts about worship. Running to Win is all about helping you find God's roadmap for your race of life. Disciplines of the Soul is more than a series, it's a set of CDs with all four messages by Pastor Lutzer. We'd like to send it as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.